Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
This is live courtroom coverage of the trial of Lindsey Clancy from the Hitting Tillers podcast in True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
Hey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
All right. I'm going to ask you if you can keep your voice up and speak into that microphone.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm just saying the same thing, so make sure that all the jurors way down here even can hear you, okay?
Okay.
Tell us your name.
It's Margaret Hamp.
And what town do you live in?
Stoneham.
And what do you do for work?
I'm a labor and delivery nurse.
Where?
At Mass General.
And how long have you been working as a labor and delivery nurse?
I started on our labor and delivery unit in 2012.
Okay, so about, 24 years? No.
I started for the obstetrics department in 2006.
Okay, so 20 years you've been working for Mass General between obstetrics and labor and delivery, right?
Correct.
Do you know Lindsay?
I do.
How do you know her?
I was working on the labor floor when Lindsay first started with us.
So this would be the labor and delivery floor, and she started as a nurse, correct?
Correct.
You had already been working there?
Correct.
And she was about, 24 years old?
Roughly.
And came in as a young woman as a nurse, correct?
Correct.
Can you tell us, let me ask you this. How many years did you work with her?
She started, I believe, in 2015, and I worked until 2002 when she went out with Callan.
About 7 years or thereabouts. Did you know that she had a child, Cora?
Yes.
And did you know that she had a child, Dawson?
Yes.
And ultimately that she had a child, a baby that was born very, very recently, Callan.
Mm-hmm.
In the years that you were working with her, were you able to observe, did she like being a nurse? Did she want to work, or was she a good nurse? What's your opinion?
Lindsay loved being a nurse. She was really good at being a nurse. She was compassionate. She was kind. She was a patient advocate. She was the type of nurse that you wanted taking care of you or your loved one when you walked onto our unit.
Did you observe, for example, that on occasion when she would be involved with the delivery of a baby that she would become emotional?
Lindsay was often emotional during birth of complete strangers. She would cry, and she would just say, "That was so beautiful." You could just tell that she really loved being in that setting.
Over those years, right up until the time of Callan being born, fair to say that you stayed friendly with her?
Yes.
And you're still friendly with her?
Yes.
Can you tell us, did you observe during the time you worked with her how she emoted or felt about her children, all three of them?
Yes.
Tell us anything that you recall.
So Lindsay and I worked the night shift together, and often on the night shift you get to have an opportunity to really get to know your coworkers and celebrate things that are happening in their lives or support them with things that are not going so well. Lindsay asked a lot of questions of her coworkers about parenting. Simple things as she would poll the nursing staff about monogrammed lunch boxes, right down to sleeping habits? What questions do you ask a daycare provider to make sure that you're in the right place? She was often asking her coworkers, childcare, parenting tips.
When she had Callan, after Callan was born in the late spring of 22, did you see her after the birth of Callan?
I did not see her after the birth of Callan.
Were you aware that she had taken a leave of absence from Mass General?
Yes.
Did you stay in touch with her by phone or text?
I briefly kept in touch through text. After Callan was born, I reached out to her and I asked her for her address and how she was doing so I could send her a gift. And then a few months later, she circled back to me to thank me for the gift that I had sent her.
Do you recall an incident on one occasion where she was looking or monitoring one of the children and the child was crying and you observed what happened after that?
Yes.
Yeah, tell us about that.
Lindsay often checked in on her kids while they were sleeping at night. Again, we worked the night shift, and she had the ability to look at her phone and see what Cora or Callan were doing in their cribs, and she shared that with a lot of us. There was one particular night that Cora was crying. She was probably about 6 months old, and Lindsay never let Cora cry. She wasn't at that point in parenting, and she was very communicative about that. And Cora was crying on the monitor. It was the middle of the night, and maybe after 10 minutes, she started to call Pat, and he wasn't answering. And she got really worried that, one, Cora was crying, but now Pat wasn't answering his phone. So in the middle of the night, she called the police to do a wellness check on her family.
Okay. And while you were working the night shift, is that pretty much what you both worked together all those years?
Yes.
Would that be through the pandemic as well?
Yes.
Would you say that that was quite a bonding experience, being in labor delivery up close and personal with patients during the pandemic at night?
Of course. It was a very challenging time as a healthcare provider.
Thank you very much. You can inquire.
All right, Como.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So the incident that you just told us about where Ms. Clancy was watching the monitor overnight, you were aware that the police responded and everything was fine, right?
Yes.
And you worked with her through 2022 when she went out with Levon Callan?
Correct.
And you never visited their house after Callan was born, did you?
No.
You don't know what was going on in her life, did you?
No.
And she didn't share any of her struggles with you via text or in any other capacity, did she?
No.
And as a labor and delivery nurse, and having been trained in labor and delivery, and you said you worked obstetrics before, correct?
Correct.
Is it fair to say that you often have patients that come to you in both those areas that have some mental illness or are on psychiatric medications, right?
Sometimes.
And working labor and delivery, you have some training on how to handle patients that are on certain types of medications, right?
Limited training, yes.
Well, it affects how you're going to birth, go through a birth plan or do a delivery if a person is on some sort of long-term medication, right?
Right.
And so you're aware that Zoloft is something that's deemed safe for pregnant moms and breastfeeding moms?
Yes.
And you've had patients that have dealt with bipolar issues before?
Yes.
And that they have to remain medication compliant in order to manage those things, right?
Yes.
Thank you. Nothing further.
All right, Ms. Brankton.
So your experience dealing with patients that have birthed a child, as the district attorney asked, and are on Zoloft and expressing issues of being a parent, were you aware of any incidents where Lindsay was with you and a woman did in fact express concern that she wanted to hurt herself or her child?
There was a particular patient that Lindsay was on staff when this patient arrived. It was a patient that arrived to the unit that had plans to harm herself while she was pregnant. And we had a conversation. Lindsay was brand new. It was the summer that she had just started. And we had a conversation about mental health in pregnancy and postpartum. And I asked her if she had ever heard of the Andrea Yates case, and she hadn't. And I explained that to her, and she cried. And she said, how could a mother hurt her children?
Thank you. All set.
Thank you.
Home off?
No.
All right. Let me sit down. Thank you. Counsel.
Yes, Your Honor. Ms. Oizuka, please.
Oizuka. O-I-Z-U-G-A. Thank you. You might take a seat.
Hey, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
I'm going to ask you, speak into that microphone. Keep your voice up, okay?
Okay.
Great, thank you. Counsel.
Thank you, Judge. Good afternoon. Tell us your name, please, and spell it.
It's Allison Oizuka, A-L-L-I-S-O-N. Last name is O-Z-G-A.
You know Lindsay?
I do.
Hello, Jerry. How do you know?
Lindsay is my sister.
And can you tell us, are you close to Lindsay? Are you? Do you live near each other? Do you socialize? What type of relationship have you had with her?
We're very close. We have not lived in the same state for about 10 years now. But we do communicate, and I do think we're very close.
And do you text with her on a regular basis?
Yes.
And you talk on the phone, do you?
Occasionally.
Directing your attention to the fall of, well, actually heading into like Thanksgiving and Christmas of 2022. Do you remember that time frame?
Yes.
And did you have occasion to see your sister during that period of time?
Yes.
And let's direct our attention to, let's say, Thanksgiving 2022. Had you noticed any change in Lindsay's personality or any observation of how she appeared to you?
I will say on Thanksgiving in particular is when the first time I saw her in person after quite some time. I had known she had not been doing well via text message communication that we had. I think on Thanksgiving, she, you know, her mood did not look good, her energy, you know, she didn't seem very energized. It definitely seemed off from how I've seen her in the past.
And were you aware that that carried through from November into December, around the holiday season, if you had stayed in touch with her?
Yes.
And can you tell us what you observed about her around the holiday season as it related to her? From your observations and your texting and your communications with Lindsay, how did she appear to you at that point?
The beginning of December, it seemed like she very much decompensated. I do remember her saying at one point at the beginning of December, something along the lines of, I'm in a really tough spot. And knowing what she had shared with me previously about how her mental health had been struggling, I had this gut feeling that something was off and that she was really struggling, and I asked her if she was safe.
What did she say?
She said yes at that point.
And you knew her husband, Pat?
Yes.
And you knew the kids?
Yes.
Obviously. Do you recall around Christmas itself and perhaps a little bit thereafter that you spoke with her and that she indicated basically, I'm not doing okay?
Yes.
Can you tell the jury what you observed about her demeanor or her symptomology when you said she was decompensating around that time? What were the symptoms in your mind of?
Based on communication with Lindsay, and I started communicating with Pat directly at that time, she was reporting her mood was worsening, as she described as depression. She was having more suicidal thoughts. Insomnia continued to be an issue. She was really not feeling like herself.
And did you know that during that period of time where she was telling you about the suicidal thoughts and the issue of depression, that she was seeing doctors?
Yes.
And what did she tell you about seeing the doctors and if she was on any medication? And if so, what effect did they have on her?
The first thing she said about the doctors was back in October when she said that she saw a doctor for Zoloft and had a very awful reaction to that Zoloft.
Would that be Dr. Tufts?
I don't believe she shared that specific with me.
Did she share the name? Okay.
No. And then I think throughout our communication over the couple months of October to December, she did share with me that she was going to doctors, she was getting different prescriptions, kind of all the things that they were trying and different treatments they were looking at.
And do you recall when you were talking with her about her symptoms towards the end of December that she had, in your words, decompensated significantly and stated to you that she felt nothing and that she was scared, things of that nature?
Yes.
What else did she tell you, if you recall?
At the end of December, so I think it was more along the same of, you know, that she is really not feeling well. Her mood is down. She's feeling numb. She's feeling hopeless. I believe at the very end of the month, she told me she had had suicidal ideation every day for a month.
Do you recall towards the end of the month around New Year's that she voluntarily admitted herself somewhere?
Yes.
Do you know where she admitted herself?
McLean Hospital.
And while she was at McLean Hospital, ultimately, do you know how she got out of McLean Hospital?
It was my understanding that she was weaning off of some medication that she was on and then was eventually discharged 5 days later.
Now, did you see her or talk to her after she left McLean Hospital trying to wean herself off of whatever medication it was? Because you don't know what the medication was, right?
I believe it was Seroquel.
Seroquel.
Yep.
Did she tell you anything to the effect that when she got out of the hospital that she felt as though this was a step in the right direction? Did she seem as though she was trying to be positive about her life?
Yes.
And tell us about that. Because up until this point, you had observed her decompensating and having these symptoms and suicidal ideation and depression and feeling nothing and scary. Mm-hmm. When she got out of McLean, what did she appear to you and what did she say to you?
I believe she said she felt that that was a good plan and that she was starting to feel better.
So was your sister, in your opinion, granted she's your sister and you're biased, obviously, but was she a complainer?
No.
And obviously she didn't share with you in detail her doctors and medicines and things of that nature. Is that fair?
No.
But you were aware of the struggles and the hurt that she was going through.
Yes.
And then through the month of January, did you have occasion to see her or were you, because you still live in different states?
Yes. Yes, I did have an occasion to see her in January.
When?
We went to Cora's birthday party.
And that was at the trampoline park?
Yes.
How did she appear at that?
I think she looked like she was going through the motions of putting together a birthday party for her daughter, but she looked tired. She looked like she was still struggling.
So there was a difference in your observation of what you had known your sister to have as a personality?
Yes.
And then, of course, the horrible day, were you aware, or did somebody call you and tell you that the children had been killed?
Yes.
One of them still survived and ultimately passed.
Yes.
And do you recall who told you that?
Yes.
Who was that?
My mother.
And as a result of getting the call from your mother, what did you do?
I jumped in the car, packed a bag, and I sped up to South Shore Hospital, which is where I was told she was.
Did you see her in South Shore Hospital?
No.
Did you know that she was then transferred to another hospital after South Shore?
Yes.
And what hospital was that?
I believe it was Brigham and Women's.
And were you able to visit her in Brigham and Women's?
Yes.
And did it take some time before they would allow you to visit with her?
Yes.
How long, if you know?
I think it was approximately 2 weeks.
Okay. And then you were able to see her pretty much on a regular basis?
Yes.
And where does your mother and father live?
In Connecticut.
And are you close to them?
Yes.
Can you tell the jury, from the time of this incident in January 24th of 2023 up until now, 2026, where has your mother and father been living?
My parents have been spending the majority of their time up here in Massachusetts.
Why?
So that they could visit Lindsay as much as possible.
Almost on a daily basis?
Yes.
Was that in a bed and breakfast or a bed and bath, or was it a hotel, or where were they staying?
They've been living out of hotels.
Thank you. That's all. You can inquire.
Carmel.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Now, when Lindsay was at McLean Hospital and she was discharged, did she tell you that she asked to be discharged early to go to Cora's birthday party?
I can't recall.
And do you recall speaking to the police on January 25th, just a day after this all happened back in 2023?
Yes.
And do you recall telling them that you saw Lindsay 2 weeks prior to the 24th, roughly around the birthday party time, and that she seemed okay?
Yes.
Do you recall telling the police that you spoke to her in phone calls many times after she was discharged to McLean, and that her tone of voice in those calls seemed better?
I did not speak to her on the phone. Most of our communication was via text.
So you don't recall saying that to the police, that the tone of Lindsay's voice in our phone conversations was better the last couple weeks since she had been released from the hospital?
I believe when I said that, I meant her tone via her text messages.
And so her tone in her text messages was better?
A bit.
And do you recall telling police that you spoke to Lindsay on Thursday, January 19th, 2023, and she seemed okay?
Yes.
And that was a phone call, correct?
That was text message.
Text message, okay.
Yes.
So when you were saying spoke to the police, it was, you were referring to text messages?
Correct.
And so in that text message, she seemed fine?
She seemed okay.
So she had just been released from McLean Hospital at the beginning of January, and all of your communications after the birthday party were text message, is that correct?
I think the dates run.
I believe so, yes.
And just so we make sure we have the date correct, after she was discharged from McLean in January of 2023, up until January 24th, 2023, all of your communications were via text?
Yes.
Did you visit her at her home that month?
No.
Did you? You didn't reach out or call her at all, correct?
I reached out and called, yes. I did not visit her at her home, no.
When you called, did she respond? Did she answer the phone?
I'm sorry, let me backtrack. I can't recall whether I made a phone call. I can recall the majority of our communication between January 1st and January 24th was via text message.
Okay, so there could have been some phone calls.
I cannot recall any phone calls.
You are a licensed social worker, correct?
Correct.
And you're a mandated reporter, correct?
Yes.
And at any point in time between January 1st, 2023 and January 24th, 2023, did you have enough concern about the safety of the kids or the safety of your sister to file a report as a mandated reporter?
No.
Thank you.
Ms. Ring?
Go ahead, Judge. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Let me step down.
Your Honor, I would call Paula Musgrove, please.
Thank you.
All right, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Okay, I'm going to remind you, I remind everybody else, just speak into the microphone if you can keep your voice up, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
Afternoon. Tell us your name and spell your name, please.
My name is Paula Musgrove, PaulaMusgrove.
And this is Musgrove. Fair to say that you are Lindsay's mother?
Yes, I am Lindsay's mother.
And your husband is here as well in the blue shirt, correct?
Yes.
We've been here for every day for the trial, is that correct?
Yes.
I just have a few questions for you. Obviously, you tell us about Lindsay when she was a kid. Was she a good kid, a good student, that type of thing?
She was a very good kid and an excellent student. Very excellent student all through school, through high school, college. Yes, excellent.
Ever been in trouble, law enforcement or schools or discipline or anything?
No.
Were you aware of her husband, Pat?
Yes.
And obviously, you knew when they got married, when they were dating and things of that nature, right? Went to the wedding, obviously.
Yes.
Fair to say that you were close to your daughter and Pat?
Yes.
And you knew, obviously, the grandchildren?
Yes.
Tell the jury how you interacted and felt about your grandchildren.
I loved my grandchildren with all my heart. And you never know what it's like to love a grandchild until you become a grandmother. And it was the most beautiful thing. I loved them with all my heart.
Now, did you have occasion to see how Lindsay reacted and treated her kids as a mother?
Yes.
And granted that you're her mother, so you're obviously biased, tell the jury what observations you made of Lindsay as a mother through the years after Cora was born, and then Dawson, and then, of course, baby Callan.
Lindsay was a very loving mother. She was dedicated to her children. She was a fun mother. She was always doing things for her kids. She always wanted to be a mother, have many children, and I felt it was the best thing that ever happened to her. And she would do anything for her children. She was just a loving mother.
Now, in 2022, Callan was born, is that correct?
Yes.
Did you stay in touch with Lindsay and Pat during that period of time, the spring into the summer of 2022?
Yes.
And how often would you see them or talk to them, or what would you do? You go to cookouts, or did you have parties, or how would you socialize?
Myself and my husband would travel from Connecticut to Duxbury at least two or three times a month, as well as them coming to Connecticut to visit us.
And would you agree that in the summer, for example, of 2022, that Lindsay and Pat were active with the kids and were pretty happy?
Very happy, yes.
Did you observe in the summer of 22 any changes at that point in her personality and the way she was acting with her friends and in society?
In the summer, no.
And they were having a fairly good summer?
Yes.
Did you notice at some point a change in Lindsay's demeanor?
Yes.
Tell the jury when that was.
It was sometime probably around the second week of October.
What happened that you noticed?
I noticed that she had become very anxious. She told me she was anxious about going back to work because Callan was having trouble taking a bottle and she didn't feel right about leaving him.
And as a result of that, did she tell you that she was going to put off going back to work?
Yes, she told me she was applying for an extension.
Now, did you know at that point that she was going through any issues involving depression or anxiety or having any suicidal ideation or anything like that?
At that point, no.
At what point, if any, did you become aware that your daughter was suffering from this symptomology?
In late October.
And how did that come about?
She sent me a text message.
Do you recall when that was?
Yes, that was on October 20th.
Now, Your Honor, the government has introduced into evidence the entire of the phone dumps, if you will, and I think they put it on a disc, and it's probably thousands of pages, but I do have the text thread that deals with that time frame in October. I'd like to offer that so that it's apparent what I'm referring to rather than having to search through thousands of pages of a disc.
No objection.
Okay. They may be admitted.
So approaching what we have in this thing.
276.
Now, the text message that you're referring to, would that be on October 20th of 2022?
Yes.
And do you have that on your phone right now?
I do.
Can you just pull that up for us?
I can. Just give me a moment. Okay, I have it.
Kelsey, do you have a copy maybe that she could look at?
Oh, I have a copy.
Yeah, that might be easier for the witness.
So I'm going to approach you with this board and ask if this is a copy of the text that you're referring to.
Yes, it is.
Would you read that for the jury?
Mom, will you please come up and stay with me for a bit? I'm really sick. Something is wrong. I had horrible insomnia all night, and I just don't know how I'm going to get through the day. I started taking the medicine my doctor prescribed for anxiety, and I think it's made things worse. It's just really scary, and I don't want to be alone.
You want to write off of this?
Objection. It's already in evidence.
What do we mark it for identification? Is that text within the first? Oh, I know you would, but we already have the. No, we're going to mark that for identification. The text that is been referred and read to is within Exhibit 276, which was just off.
I'm sorry, which is what?
I think it was within Exhibit 276, which was within that thread that you just offered.
Okay, so I will then, that would be 276, yeah. So that will be over here. As a result of receiving that text, did you then come up to...
Hold on a second.
Exhibit W for identification.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, thank you.
All right, thank you.
So as a result of that, did you come up to Duxbury?
Yes, same day.
And tell us about that. What happened that day at the end of October?
Lindsay had been, I believe she went to the emergency room that day, and she had come home. She was feeling a bit better. She told me that she couldn't sleep. She was very anxious, and she was afraid.
And how long did you stay with her?
At that point?
Yes.
I believe at that point I stayed for about a week.
And was your husband with you?
He came later. He didn't come directly with me then because he was still working, so he came later.
I never asked. What did you do for work?
I worked for Weight Watchers.
And you're retired?
Yes.
How about your husband? Is he working now?
He recently retired.
And what was the nature of his work?
He was in photography.
What kind of photography?
School picture photography.
For yearbooks and things like that?
Yeah, and school pictures when you had your kids' pictures taken.
And he just recently retired?
Yes.
Is it fair to say that during the month of October into November, into the holidays in December, that you and your husband would stay with Lindsay and the kids?
Yes. I stayed more than my husband because he needed to go back home to work.
Sure. While you were staying with Lindsay, can you tell us your opinion as to her condition? Was it decompensating? Was she getting better as time went on through November and December into the holidays?
Through November into December, it was not getting better into and into the holidays.
And you knew she was on medication at that point?
Yes.
You knew she was seeing doctors at that point?
Yes.
So tell us, is there an incident that came to your mind that you recall that occurred on one evening that indicated to you how seriously she was suffering?
There were many. One particular evening that was disturbing to me was that, I mean, she was afraid. She was afraid to be alone. And she actually asked if she could sleep with me.
When was that?
That was late November, early December.
And did she indeed sleep with you on that occasion?
She did.
Continuing on through the holidays, did you guys get together for the holidays, Christmas or Thanksgiving, if you recall?
Yes. I was down there probably most of December through Christmas Eve, and then I left on Christmas Eve to come home to see my other daughter and her family, and then Lindsay actually came to my house later the day on Christmas Day.
Was she with Pat?
Yes.
Okay, and the kids?
Yes.
During that period of time, did you make further observation as time went into January? Oh, back it up. At some point, she voluntarily went into McLean Hospital?
Yes.
You knew that?
Yes.
How did you know that?
I was there.
What do you mean you were there?
I was at Lindsay's house staying with them.
You take care of the kids?
Yes.
And it's fair to say that Pat's parents, mom and dad, also stepped up, taking care of the kids, helping out during this period of time?
They were there, I guess, when we weren't there. I didn't really see them, but...
Right, because you guys would be different time.
Right.
But you all were pulling together as a family, is that
right.
Correct? January, leading up to January 24th, do you recall, and can you tell the jurors, what, if any, observations you made of Lindsay and her condition?
Lindsay had lost a lot of weight. She had become, during this whole time, paranoid about different things that really she shouldn't have, really weren't logical to become paranoid about. She would mention that this wasn't her mind. She would say to me, this isn't me. I've never been like this before. And I would agree because she wasn't. She was attempting to go through the motions of her day, take care of the kids as best she could. She didn't want to drive. So, at times when Pat didn't go pick the kids up at school, I would drive Lindsay to pick the kids up at school because she was afraid to drive.
Did she express to you concern that, in this time frame that people at the school, teachers and other people would be able to know what she was thinking and would think that she wasn't a good mother because she was sick?
Yes. She said, the school knows something's going on because I'm not driving my car. They see that I'm not driving my car to pick the kids up.
Do you recall the end of January that she made a statement to you about the medication and her opinion, what it was doing to her mind?
Yes.
What did she say?
She said that she couldn't remember anything. The medication was pretty much just destroying her mind, and it wasn't her. She said, this isn't me. I just want to feel better and enjoy my kids again.
Now, I know that this is difficult. In December of 2022, do you recall the time that you were in the kitchen with Lindsay and Patrick and she made a statement about her state of mind to her husband, Pat, and you were there?
Yes.
I know it's difficult. Just tell us what you remember.
I remember her being very nervous. I remember her saying, I just have to tell you guys something. And then she told us.
What did she tell you?
She told us that she had thoughts of harming the children.
Thank you very much.
Why don't we take the afternoon recess at this time? We'll come back for cross-examination. All right. So, ma'am, you can step down.
Thank you.
More live courtroom coverage of the trial of Lindsay Clancy is on the way. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a moment. From the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto. It's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto. It's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Every dating app swap is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.